Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page One? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, a violinist. I'm coming to you because I wanted to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secret to success in technology, business, and music. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music, business, and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. That's L-A-D-Y-Z-H-E. Please pull out your smartphones right now and follow me on Instagram at L-A-D-Y-Z-H-E. Now, this week's episode is all about the music. I have the beautiful, the talented, fabulous interviewer. Let me just get into her bio. Cassandra Calloway was born and raised in Queens, New York, but is a woman of the world, a former Miss Black Teen New York. She began her media career in college radio. It was during this time that she honed her hosting skills. She later set her sights on the West Coast. She worked as executive assistant for Toni Braxton, served as general manager at Red Eye Records, and later ventured out on her own as a red carpet hostess. Her radio show, Caliwood Live, garnered over 4 million listeners with shows that are jam-packed with celebrity gossip, interviews, and more. She has interviewed Regina King, Barbara Eden, Halle Berry, Lala Ali, Kris Jenner, Jermaine Jackson, Vivica Fox, Queen Latifah, Holly Robinson-Peay, and a host of others. Miss Calloway is a superstar, and she's just fabulous, and I'm just so happy that she's here with us today. And she has an event coming up soon, but without further ado, let's say hello and welcome to the fabulous, the stylish, and the ever energetic Miss Cassandra Calloway. How are you?
Hey, Lady Z, how are you this morning, beautiful?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just so happy that you had the opportunity to come on my podcast and share your wisdom on what it means to be success in the entertainment industry. You've been doing it big for so long. So what drew you to radio? What inspired you to be a DJ and a radio host? I mean,
well, it kind of started. Well, I was Miss Black Teen New York in 1982. I was 16, and I can't sing. I can't play an instrument, so I did a dramatic reading, and realized that I didn't like the audition part of the acting thing. And when I entered John Jay College, I walked past the radio station one day, and I was like, "What's this?" And a gentleman by the name of Santana was like, "This is the radio station." He brought me in, and I was hooked. And I was like, "Oh wow, this is nice." And I love music, and I was like, "I think I can do this." And so as I was singing, I was like, "But I don't want to just play music, you know." I was like, "I could interview celebrities." And at the time, I was big on All My Children and One Life to Live. And in New York, those studios were literally like three blocks from John Jay College. So I wrote up a letter on letterhead from John Jay and went to Darnell Williams and Vanessa Williams and Susan Taylor from Essence Magazine and asked if I can get an interview. And they agreed. And it kind of started from there. And I mean, I had Reverend Jesse Jackson and Salt and Pepper, and it just kind of flowed from there. And as I went through my life, I left John Jay. I started working at the Latin Quarter, which was the first hip hop club in New York. So Will Smith's first show in New York, I booked. And when they were too tired to drive back to Philly, they came to my house, and I lived with a friend of mine. So it was like 12 of us in my bedroom. And I actually have it on a reel. I had a video camera back then that taped film. So I have to find somebody that can transfer that for me at this age. By now they probably can. And it just kind of took off from there. And I left Latin Quarter, went to South Carolina State, joined the radio station there, and started doing the same thing there, bringing artists to the radio station, helping with the homecomings. And it everything just kind of fell into place. And then I ended up back in New York and was the tour manager for the Motown Motor Review for famous artists. Became really good friends with a young lady named Tasha or MC Trouble, and she was on Motown, and we became good friends. And she was like, "You need to come out to California." And I was like, "Well, I don't have a job really, and you know, like, you just come, and, you know, you stay with me in Kenya, and you'll make something happen." Needless to say, I put Tasha on a plane on Monday. She passed away that Tuesday from an epileptic seizure. I came out to LA for her funeral, and in speaking with Kenya, she was like, "You still should come." Signed an interview with ICM, came out here on August 8th of 91, and went to my interview with ICM. And now here's the irony. ICM was on Sunset Boulevard and Doheny. And I walked from Sunset and Doheny to Wilshire and Crescent Heights.
Oh, wow. How okay. How many miles is that?
I don't know, but I was in a wool suit because the only suitcase that made it out of the seven that came on the plane with me was all my clothes that were wool suits.
Oh, man.
So in the process of that, there was a place, Apple One temporary agency there, and mm-hmm. I stopped in there so I can, you know, rest my feet, take the test, you know, and see if I can get a temp job. While I was in there, Screen Actors Guild came and called and asked if they needed someone computer literate. I'd just taken a computer test. They said, "Can you go to Screen Actors Guild?" I said, "Sure." And at this time, I'm on the bus, and the bus just happened to be the bus that I got on, dropped me right in front of Screen Actors Guild. I went to Screen Actors Guild, and they, you know, they did the paperwork and everything, and so they, you know, said come back the next day. But let me just back up. In between me being at South Carolina State, I was also doing, during the summer, I would work at Arista Records with Mary Moore. And Arista Records was looking for singing groups. So Mary Moore and I had gone to Maryland, and we saw Tony and her sister singing in the church, their dad's church in Maryland.
Wait a second. Are you serious? You did the A&R for Tony Braxton?
Well, Mary Moore did the A&R for Tony, for the Braxtons. They were actually the Braxtons.
Okay.
Right. So they did an EP deal with Arista. They had two songs out called The Good Life and Family. Right? Uh-huh. So then at that point, that's when, okay, so then I was at Famous Artists. So I'm sorry, let me back up. I'm sorry. I was at Famous Artists when Mary Moore brought the Braxtons to me.
Okay.
And
okay.
After she brought the Braxtons to me as an agent, then Mary and I went on a train down to Maryland, and I actually saw them in the church. Like, I hung out with them afterwards. So that's how I ended up at the church and seeing them singing at the church. But they were already at Arista Records as the Braxtons.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I'm also putting my book together, so I'm getting, you know, so I want to make sure I'm telling
getting you the timeline together.
Exactly. So when I was at Arista, when I was at Famous Artists, and I was the road manager for, or the tour manager for Motown Motor Review, that's when I was introduced to the Braxtons by Mary Moore.
Wow.
I became their agent.
Oh, and okay,
I had Tony, Tamar, Trina, Tracy, and Tawanda going around New York in all the clubs, and Tamar was 13 at the time, and that's when they were doing the song Good Life, went to like 72 on the Billboard charts.
Oh, so that's, wow.
So that's how I met Tony Braxton.
Oh, wow.
Met Tony while I was at Famous Artists. So while I was at Famous Artists, after the Motown tour, I was released, and that's when Tasha told me to come to Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Tasha then passed away. I still come. And then my first day, I go to ICM, walk to Crescent Heights to the Apple One temp agency, took the test, went to Screen Actors Guild.
Right. Right?
So they said, okay, come the next day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now the next day, I get there 45 minutes early. Now, when I tell you how God put everything in line, the people who I was staying with, Kenya's family, where we live, Kenya and I took the same bus, the 212 bus, we walked two blocks to the bus. Kenny would get off on Wilshire, and I would take the 212 bus, and it would let me off right in front of Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
This is the next day after I moved here.
Wow. Okay.
So I go into the office of Screen Actors Guild, and I'm sitting there, and the lady, Maureen and Trina, are doing some stuff. Tina are doing some stuff, and I'm ear hustling into their conversation, and they have all of these checks from Arsenio Hall, the Arsenio Hall show.
Right.
So I hear some stuff. I said, you're looking for some people, some singers. Who are you looking for? So he had all these checks. So the first check was Tony Braxton. I said, you're looking for Tony Braxton? Now, 2 days before that, before I left New York, they threw me a going away party. Uh-huh. Tony and her whole family drove from Maryland to New York for my going away party.
Wow.
So
that's
now we're
love.
Talking, right. So we're talking 72 hours later. I'm sitting in the Screen Actors Guild, and
they're saying, like, we need the Braxtons.
No, they were just looking for Tony.
Looking
for Tony. I get on the phone and I call Tony. I say, hey, Tony, it's Cassandra. I said, I'm at work right now. She said, how the hell are you at work right now? You just got there yesterday. I said, Tony, listen. Did the Arsenio Hall show.
Cassandra, you know what? You know God's hand is on the whole situation, because that just sounds too good to be true.
Exactly. So I say to Tony, do you want this check sent here to your mom's address or to your house? She says, send it to mom. The next check was Teddy Riley. Of course, Teddy was at my going away party. I called Teddy. Hey, Teddy, Arsenio Hall check. The next person's check was Khadijah Bass, who's my first cousin.
Lord have mercy.
They hired me permanently right then.
They're like, we'd be a fool not to hire you, because you are just too highly connected, young woman.
Exactly. So
you saved us a whole bunch of time.
Exactly. So they ended up having to pay Apple One like a bunch of money because it was a contract thing or whatever. So in between that, so I'm working at Screen Actors Guild, and I start Cozy Entertainment, where I'm doing celebrity basketball games, and, you know, I'm just Image Awards coordinator. I'm just like, just things are just falling into my lap. Just
right,
like,
right, right. Whatever.
It's not like I had a plan. I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to go to LA and da 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 and da 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 and da 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 and da da da. It just, everything just happened serendipitously. Just everything just happened. You know, like, you know, I had to go on the Out All Night set for something with a contract for SAG, met Vivica. Vivica and I be like instantly best of friends, and I'm on the set every day, and you know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, I know all these celebrities, you know, what can we do? I said, well, I want to do a celebrity basketball game, because I'd done some in New York. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do a celebrity basketball game. And I had a group of friends. They didn't want to do it under Cozy Entertainment. So we started SAFE, which is Sisters Advocating Further Education. And we went to Los Angeles, and we had students write letters on being better high school students, or, you know, stuff like that. And we did our first game at Long Beach City, and we had Jamie Foxx and Johnny Gill and Michelle Thomas, who passed away. She was one of my dearest friends. She passed away from cancer, but she was on she played Jaleel White's girlfriend on Family Matters. Sally Richardson, you know, Kalita Smith.
She played Laura Winslow.
Yes, no. She played Myra.
Oh, Myra. Okay.
But I had people like Kalita Smith and Shy. I had people, Mamie Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter. I had people like that was on every TV show that was out back in the 90s in my celebrity basketball game. So it's not like I had one A-list celebrity. I had everybody. So, and from there, you know, I just cultivated my relationships and friendships and just started doing celebrity basketball games. And then I ended up back at Screen Actors Guild. So then as I'm at Screen Actors Guild, me and Tony hook back up again. And Tony's like, yo, Cassandra, you need to come work for me. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? I pack up in 94, I go to Atlanta. I work for Tony for a year and a half. She did something crazy. I quit, drove to New York. The day I drove to New York, I went back to Screen Actors Guild, and Screen Actors Guild in New York hired me that same day to be a SAG rep. So I would go to all the movie sets to make sure they're following the rules and regulations of the union.
Okay.
In between that, Tony and those come to New York for a concert. And I had talked to some friends who had still worked for Tony. And I told them, look, you guys need a break. When you get to New York, I'll work for Tony for the week to give you guys a break. Because it took two people to replace me.
Wow.
So they get to New York and I'm having fun. And my cousin's like, you know, you're working with SAG, you're having fun. But the joy I see in your face now and the spirit, you know, this is where you're happiest at. So Tony had offered me a job to come back. And I was like, you know what? Why not? So I went back to work for Tony. We worked for a little while. Then the bankruptcy came. And then the day the bankruptcy happened, I found out I didn't have a job. I went back to Screen Actors Guild. They hired me again here in L.A. because of my job. Because I never left on bad terms.
Right.
And because I do a good job.
Right.
I go back to Screen Actors Guild, handling contracts for them, when Tony De Niro comes at me and offers me the job to be general manager of Red Eye Records.
Oh, wow.
So now, when I went back to Screen Actors Guild, I was not making the money I was making with Tony.
Right.
Okay, so I was like, you know what, I need to go back. I can't go to Mr. Chow's. So let me take this job with the record company. Took the job with the record company. We did that for a year. Then they got bought out by Sony Records. Some stuff went down with that. And then I just then went back to just, doing my own thing, doing celebrity basketball games in Puerto Rico, casting movies and stuff like that. And then in 2003, had a kind of freak accident on a movie set. Was down for about 3 years. Discovered I can paint. Started painting. Selling my art. Then in the process of selling that in 2009, I was like, my friend Dana Keel was doing Blog Talk Radio and asked me to come in and talk about entertainment. And when I saw her, what she was doing, I was like, you know what, I could do this. The next day I said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to start my own show. And on July 4th, 2009, I started my first show with Blog Talk Radio. I had 96 listeners. And I did the same thing, called on friends to do interviews. Once I knew I had interviews and a person do sports and a person do the weather, I had a person do my theme song. I went out and got some sponsors. And, you know, from 2009 to 2016 interviewing, and then from doing Blog Talk, I started taking it on the red carpet. And in the process of that, I started building up my DJ equipment and started getting little gigs here and there. And the next thing I know, I'm DJing at the City Club and at Crenshaw Mall, where we met, saw each other again.
Right. And I first met you at Lunel's birthday bash. I was playing with the band Funkalicious and met you on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah. I was the red carpet host for Lunel's birthday. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how we met.
That's how we met. So, you know, and it can go on from there. So then I just, you know, started doing the show. And now I'm, you know, DJing events, and when an opportunity came to me about, you know, doing this, I knew I wanted to find a place where at least once a month I can show my talent and get my friends to come and not cost anything, and we could eat and commiserate amongst ourselves and network, not just on social media, because I think I know everything because I see my cousins or family on social media, and I'm like, didn't I just talk to you yesterday? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, I read something on Facebook or something on Instagram. So I wanted to bring our group, our collectiveness together in one room. So my friends at the Legacy Lounge at 5082 Pico Boulevard, I said, hey, you know, look, can I still try something the last Wednesday of October? And they said, sure, but I'm going to be back up. Like a week or two before that, when I was sitting down, I was saying, you know, me DJing, I need to add something else to this that's going to make it hot. I mean, I'm older. I got the swagger, but I need something else that's going to make it go bam. And I called Z. I said, hey, Z, have you ever thought about playing while somebody DJs? Because I'm thinking if the two of us get together and put something together with your playing, my DJing, it could be extraordinary. I've never seen it before. And Z was like, I'm here, Cassandra. I've done it before, and I'm with you. And I was like, so when she said she was willing when you said you were willing to participate and wanted to get together, I was like, okay, now I know I got to show an element. And when I went to Legacy Lounge, I was like, okay, this is what I think I can do. Can we make it happen on this date? And they said yes. And then I called you, and you said yes. And now, you know, we have you playing the violin. I'm DJing. Shaquan is singing. Queen X is doing poetry. There's another young lady whose name I can't call, whose name starts with a Z. And I'll get it in a second. She's doing poetry as well. And just living life on. So all of that to say, I did all of that just so that on October 30th, 2019 at 7 p.m., we can show them how we do what we do, Z.
Right. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be nice. It's going to be really nice. Man.
I rambled. So do you have any?
No, I mean, you pretty much, you were in my head. I mean, you covered it all. So, I mean, wow. I mean, you went from SAG to Tony to Tony to SAG to SAG to the record company back to SAG. Oh, no, you went after that, after the record company, you went out on your own.
That is correct. Yeah. I don't think SAG would have hired me again. Not that I left on bad terms, but it's just like, you know, one of my friends said if I would have waited two more weeks, I would have got 10 years.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So, wow, I'm just, you know, when I'm looking at the Braxtons, and, you know, they had that, the Braxton Family Values reality show on WE Television, and just watching that over the seasons, and just knowing that you know them, so you know how it really is behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't watch that show. I think I watched the first episode, and that's it. And what the trip is, earlier this year was the first time in almost 20 years that all of us were in the same room. I hadn't seen Tony from the time, the first time I saw Tony after we went our separate ways was 14 years later, and I was hosting the red carpet for the NAACP Theater Awards, and I'm in this $4,000 in Zoni white, which was a wedding dress, but I just took it to a whole nother level. And she walked through the door and screamed. It was just like, Cassandra, you know. So it was just like, you know, so it was our paths never crossed. And then I ran into Tamar on Melrose. We were getting our nails done in the same salon.
Okay.
So, but when they did the premiere of the new season, this season that's coming up, there was an event that I applied for press, and they were like, oh, and we have no more room for press, but you can come in as a guest. And I'm like, okay, this is even better. So now I don't have to see them on the red carpet. I'm gonna just be in the crowd, and then when I see them, you know, I had already seen Tony and Tamar, so seeing Tawanda and Tracy and Trina and Miss Braxton, Miss Evelyn, I've seen her, you know, when I've seen Tony on the two different red carpets, actually, yeah, that I've seen her on. So, you know, getting to see them, it was great. And after, you know, all of those years, and then, you know, and remember this. And then I have a book that I'm putting together that is going to tell a lot of what I left out in between the
right. That I gave. I definitely know that book is going to be a page turner. So, I have to ask you, because this podcast is about success in the entertainment industry and the music industry, what advice would you give to people who aspire to get their art out there, whether it's acting or singing or as a musician? What would you recommend to them?
Well, because now the times are different. When I was working records and I was heavily into, and when I ran Latin Quarter and they would bring different artists and stuff to me, you had to work a record different. It took a long time before you could get your radio heard, your record, your song heard on the radio or in right. someone's ear. So now with all of the streaming platforms and all of the internet and multimedia and everything, it's so much easier. What I say is always put out quality. I'm mentoring a gentleman by the name of the young man, he's only 11. His name is Brandon Stennis, in How to Be a Proper Host. And okay. It's about doing the homework. If you want to be a singer, then not only be able to sing, you have to be able to sing. So take classes, know your vocal warm-ups, know your art. Know your craft. Study it inside and out. Go to the library. There's still a book, The Business of the Music Business. I mean, it may be 30 years old, but there are books in the library. Yes, I said the library. You can get them on Kindle or whatever, social media, but, you know, mm-hmm. and study. You have to study. You have to know what you're talking about. If you want to be a fashion designer, then you need to know Chanel and Dior and the origin of a stitch. If you want to sing, then you need to know what an alto or bass or, you know, what the music is about and how to market yourself. And also making sure that you put out great product. You don't want to be here today and gone tomorrow. You don't want to be a flash in the pan. And it's very hard because there's so many different ways for people to hear or see or listen to what you're doing. But if you study, practice, take classes, and if you don't know how to do something, trust me, there is a video on YouTube that will show you how to do it, how to fix it.
Right, right. So there's resources out there.
Exactly. There's so many resources. And there are people that you need, if there are people in your life that you can't go to and ask advice from, then they don't need to be around you. The five people that are around you should be able to feed you. They should be able to water into your mind, your spirit, and your soul. Those five people, okay, if they're in your space or if anyone's in your space, they should be able to fill your space with whatever you need and they need without it being a compromise.
Hard work.
Everyone says, oh, you're a great interviewer. I'm a great interviewer because I study. If I get the tip sheet or the information in advance on who's going to be there, I have note cards with their pictures. I've gone to interviews, not the interview they did yesterday, interview they've done 15 years ago, because if I bring something back from them, they're going to know that I have done my homework. What makes me smile the most is when an artist or a client that I've DJed an event for say, you've done your homework. Mm. That makes me feel like, okay, that's my pat on the back. You don't have, even if they don't tip me, if they say you've done your homework, if I'm sitting in a crowd and I can see heads bopping and my music is playing, they may not be dancing, but the head is bopping in there. They're still carrying on that conversation. I'm doing my job. Your job is to do your job. Whether you're a firefighter, DJ, and art, whatever your job is to do your job and be the best at doing your job.
Right, right, right. That's awesome. So, Cassandra, I know you're working on a book. So can you share with me the most memorable moment you've had? I know you are around celebrities all the time, but what was the moment that was just like, wow, I just cannot believe this just happened?
Wow, and you know it's a trip. There's so many, even when it comes to when I'm interviewing and I'm, especially because I'm Facebook Live or Instagram Live, I don't know what I do until I rewatch it back because I'm in the moment. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going through it. I know I'm doing a good job because the person's smiling and laughing and I'm listening to them intently. But once they've gone, but for me, the most, one great moment for me was when I flew my mom. This is going to take you. I flew my mom out to Paris to see Tony Braxton. And it's a point during the show where we would throw out t-shirts and stuff like that, and or we would get on stage, and at some points, you know, I was able to like introduce Tony or something like that. So I'm in the stage, we're in Paris, and I'm looking at my mom sitting next to Tony's mom, and I'm on stage, and you know, I'm throwing out a t-shirt to my mom. And then the next day we spent like 5 hours in a fragrance store in Harris, and just Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower. One of my friends, Jackie, got married. So that Paris trip, I would say, would be one. And the other would be, I'm going to give it when I won the Miss Black Teen New York pageant. Even though I've gotten some awards since then, you know, I'm going to say at 16, winning the Miss Black Teen New York pageant and not having sung, or, you know, and at that time you had to play an instrument or somebody sung, you know, what was the song? I can't remember the song that was out at the time that everybody was singing back then. But that was special.
That was awesome. Yeah, I could definitely understand why winning that pageant was such a big deal. I won Long Beach Young Woman of the Year and competed in California's Junior Miss. But I didn't get any awards, so I know you had to work hard to do
and
that.
You know, it's also too, and it also was a blessing and a curse, because I also lived in a, I also was almost jumped by a group of young ladies who lived where I lived because they were jealous that I won the pageant.
Oh, and no.
I was so scared that I didn't hang out a lot. I reverted, so that's where I went to ballet class, and I started, you know, like, realizing that some people aren't really nice, and that that's when I also realized my innocence was lost on two different occasions. One I won't talk about, but on the that everybody's not your friend, and
right,
everybody's right. Not going to share in your joy.
Right.
So
that's unfortunate, but it's true. That green-eyed monster jealousy. I mean, it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cain was jealous of Abel's offering when he could have offered the first fruits the right way, but he chose not to do it and got mad at Abel. And I think, you know, jealousy is really a horrible thing.
It's horrible. It could have taken a, like, there were things that I was supposed to do that I didn't do. I told my mother, like, I stopped, I pulled back from some things, and then I don't know, something just clicked, and it was like, you know what? It's gonna be 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and I'm gonna be doing what I'm doing now, and they're going to be sitting back there, you know, they're probably, a couple of them tried to Facebook friend me. I'm like, nah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, how you like me now type of thing. Like,
right. It's
I know
like,
you
no,
see me.
Nah.
Right.
Nah, boo-boo. Mm-mm.
I got you.
I understand that. I had a ex-boyfriend try to reach out to me on Facebook, and he got mad. He dumped me because I refused to give up the cookie in college. Mm. And then when I realized who he was, I promptly unfriended him.
Mm-hmm.
I right. hadn't thought about him in years.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, like, I don't want to say my brain, it's like, I recognize people's faces, but I've done so much, not to negate anybody's relationship, but I've traveled the world. I've done so much. This past December, I had a birthday party. I turned 55. I had this amazing birthday party, like over 200 people, had a dab bar from Mecca. It was a silent party, so everybody had headsets, and John from True performed, Bridget Jones from American Idol performed. I mean, it was an awesome party. And this young lady was sitting there, and she's like, Cassandra, and she went through this whole thing with, like, about how I changed her life and introduced her to all these people when I lived in Atlanta. And I didn't remember. And I said, blame it on my head, not my heart. You know what I'm saying? Blame it right. on the legal cannabis.
Oh, wow.
But to know that, I know is that anyone that's come into my circumference, that's been my friend, we may not speak, we're still friends. I know that I've been a joy. I know that I'm a light. And I know that all I've done was be the best person I can be. So when you say, hey, you know, and you say Cassandra, they like, you know, because Cassandra Calloway, and then you mean Cassandra. You can't say Cassandra, because they're like, no, it's Cassandra.
Right.
They, you know, it's it's got a nice ring to it. Like, even my niece was like, I was on the plane with Tamar and I was going to say my auntie's Cassandra. I was like, you can say my name. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? You can, because I know that I'm respected because I respected everyone else, and I respect who I am and what I've done. Even my brother, right. my brother's a Lyft driver in Virginia, and one day he was driving someone, I guess to BET or whatever, something BET, and he said, "Oh, my sister's in Los Angeles. You know, her name is Cassandra Calloway." She said, "You mean Cassandra?" And so he was. So I know I'm making a point to make sure you say my name correctly.
Right.
So just as I'm making a point you say my name correctly, I make it a point that I try to say everyone else's name correctly. I try to remember the person, and I try to give them as much respect on their name. They put respect on my name, so I put respect on theirs.
Right. Well, Cassandra Calloway, you are just fabulous. I'm looking forward to our event, our collaboration coming up on October 30th. Can you give everybody the address again?
Well, before I give the address, I want to say once we go, first of all, Z, thank you for taking that call. I think I called you like at 6 o'clock in the morning, like, hey, I need to talk to you, sis. Are you interested in, I'm not sure, because I know you got a lot going on. And you were like, sure, I would love to. And I sent you my mixes and like, yeah, I just see it as a beautiful marriage and something that they haven't seen. And I think we can make this something extremely special, especially if we only do it like once a month, because, you know, people start getting greedy and like, oh, we want it more. No, let's make them want the cookies. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Let's make them wait for it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so I'm excited about the collaboration. So we're going to start. Our first is Halloween Town, October 30th, 2019. We're going to be at 5082 Pico Boulevard, the Legacy Lounge, from 7 p.m. to midnight. You can wear a costume if you want. 10% off of hookah lounges. Z is going to be selling her amazing CD. Shaquan, my niece, is going to be performing. Queen X, her name is Brittany, but her stage name is Queen X, is going to be doing some of her poetry. You're going to solo. I'm going to DJ. We're just going to hang out and have a good time, and, you know, and bring in, you know, I don't celebrate Halloween, so we're just going to have a, you know, the day before, whatever that holiday is that everybody wants to get scared on.
Right.
But yeah, if you can join us, it's free. You know, it's 5082, once again, 5082 Pico Boulevard. If you want to make a donation, I actually have a program I do called Feed the Streets, where I make sandwiches and whatever, and my friends from Bagel Nosh gives me bagels, and I make as many bags as I can, and I feed the homeless throughout Los Angeles. So, you know, we're like, you know, saying if you want to make donations when you get there, you can make a donation for Feed the Streets, but it is a free entry. So it's 5082 Pico Boulevard, the Legacy Lounge, Halloween Town, with Lady Z, DJ Calloway, which is me, Queen X, Shaquan, and a host of other poets are going to be there as well. So why don't you check it out?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to have fun. We have 2 weeks to promote. Every red carpet I'm on, I'm saying, I think one red carpet I was given the wrong address. So I'm making sure the address is 5082 Pico Boulevard, the Legacy Lounge. And it's at Legacy Lounge on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Only Cassandra. On Facebook, please go to Cassandra Calloway personality page, because my Cassandra Calloway
personal profile is packed. You got the max.
They won't even let me delete people so I could add people. They won't even.
Oh, they won't let you delete anyone.
I've been trying to delete some people who I, you know, who do I delete? So I scroll and I get to a person. I go, no, I think I know that person really well. So if I delete them, they're gonna get mad. So let me try to find somebody who only has one, and then that one person knows somebody I know really well. So it's like really hard. So I want you to know, I need to build up my personality page so I can possibly get verified. So it's Cassandra Calloway radio personality page as well. And that's how you can do it. You can follow your girl, you know, and make sure you come and check out me and Lady Z. You know, AZ, are you performing anywhere else before October 30th?
Let me think. You know what? No, I think that's my next gig. I think I may be doing some private events, some weddings, but I think right now that's the only public one coming up. I'm doing a worship service the Sunday before Thanksgiving at Truth and Love Christian Church in Carson. Yeah, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. That's coming up. That's in November.
Oh, well, now, see, I know how to contact you, but if somebody wants to hire you and not me, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to www.ladyzhe.com or go to my Instagram at ladyzhe.
No, that's how you do it. Well, you can go to I have a website too. It's called CaliwoodMedia.com. So that's where you find your girls. It's going to be Sister Power. We take it out 2019 with a whole new thing. It's going to be, they're not going to know what to do with us, lady.
They're not. I'm really excited about this because, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Detroit earlier this year and speak about podcasting at a multimedia summit. And when I was there, I collaborated I was at the wine bar. Is it the wine bar? It's on Michigan Avenue near downtown Detroit. And I played a set with the DJ there. And then I've also collaborated with some other DJs in the past. So I'm really looking forward to this because DJ Calloway, you are all of that in a bag of chips.
Well, actually, you know what? No, we changed it. So now it's DJ Calliwood.
Oh, DJ Calliwood. Okay.
Yeah, because I was going by first, because in college, my name was DJ Dynasty. And I used to start my show off with the theme song, The Dynasty. At this age now, I don't think people are trying to hear that. So then I was going by DJ Cassandra Calloway, and everybody was saying that was too long. So just last week, I decided, and it's final, it's DJ Calliwood.
DJ Calliwood. I love that.
Also, not to lose the Calliwood momentum, and you know, I'm actually going to start, not sure if I'm going to podcast, but I'm going to do a once a month back on live on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. But I'm coming back to the show, you know. So I've been just concentrating on DJing and hosting red carpets, but I miss talking to you people every week.
So well, if you ever want to come on my show and co-host with me or whatever, there's an open invitation. So the Jazz and Tech Lounge comes on once a week on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. And Bashani Radio's, we're always talking about everything from New York City. And, you know, the Jazz and Tech Lounge just loves DJ Calliwood. So you're always welcome, my dear. Well,
thank you very much. But from as a New Yorker, next time we'll talk about pizza. We'll just have a whole conversation on food.
Oh, that sounds New York good. Food. New York, I love New food. York they pizza. Call me the food queen amongst my family.
Oh, amongst your family. Yeah, because pizza out here, this is the lab before I get out of here. New LA people. Please stop putting New York pizza on your sign, and then I walk in there, and it doesn't taste like New York pizza. Say it tastes somewhat like New York pizza. If it don't taste like New York pizza, please stop putting New York pizza on your sign, okay? If it's not New York pizza, that's all I got to say. But pizza. And on that, I want you to join us again on October 30th, 2019, at 5082 Pico Boulevard, the Legacy Lounge for Halloween Town, hosted by DJ Calloway. Special performances by Lady Z, Queen X Shaquan, and another poet whose name starts with a Z, and I'm going to just call it Lady Z number two, because I forgot a name. So Lady Z number two, and I'm going to see you guys on October 30th. Right, Lady Z?
Right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.